Well, good morning. Good to be with you on this nice, cool morning. Well, for a number of weeks now, we've been working our way through the Gospel of Luke. And the particular section that the Gospel that we've been looking at, chapters 9 through 12, we find that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And as we heard last week, that Jesus' disciples, all of them, they join him in mission. But in our text this morning, we see Jesus shift his concern for those of us in mission with him. Not just about what it means to be sent out by him, but a concern about who we are, the kind of people that we are when we are in mission with him. So if you turn with me to Luke chapter 10, I'm going to read verses 17 through 24. You can follow along in your order of worship where it is printed, or in a Bible, or just listen as I read from Luke 10. The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." In that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." And turning to the disciples, he said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see, and to hear what you hear and did not hear." Well, this is God's word. It's given for our good. Let me pray for us. Father, this word that we have just read together, we ask that you would teach us its truth, that you would meet us in the places we are, and this word, it would point us to the word who bears our flesh. Change us by his grace, we pray. Amen. Well, I can distinctly remember this one Friday morning that my grandfather, he pulled up in his big Dodge Ram diesel truck to pick me up. And by all accounts, it was an ordinary day. I mean, it was not uncommon for my grandfather to pick me up so that we could spend the day together. But this particular Friday was different. I mean, it was different because I had just gotten my driver's permit, and on our way out the door, my grandfather handed me the keys and said in the most kind of deadpan sort of way, "Where are you taking us today?" Well, my eyes grew bigger. My body began to tense. You know, somehow I mustered up the ability to ask, you know, the question that I already knew the answer to. You know, am I driving? Climbing into the passenger side of the truck, my grandfather, he just coolly and calmly just said to me, "You know, the only way to learn is to get in and drive." So I got in. I turned the key of that huge truck, hoping and thinking that I'll make a few turns around the neighborhood and that I'd pull over at some point and we'd be on our way. That would be the end of it. It wasn't. Every small road led to a bigger and busier road until my grandfather told me, he looked at me and he said, "Now it's time to get on the interstate. We got places to go, we got people to see, and the only way to get there is on I-70. So I don't know if this is already clear, but this was the first time that I had ever driven in my life. And there I was, slowly creeping towards the on-ramp, white knuckle clutching the steering wheel, disbelieving that my grandfather would ever be this cruel or careless with our lives. Well, I survived, obviously, survived the trip. But more than that, I experienced something that changed me, that's something that I knew that I couldn't do before, that I can now do. Get on the on-ramp, right? But in all seriousness, it was sort of kind of captivating for me. I wanted to do it again and again. I wanted to get back in the truck. And our text is like this morning. You see, the 72 that we had heard about last week, those disciples, they return, and they are captivated by the power of the gospel going out into the world, and their part in it. Jesus has given these disciples the keys to the car. He has them in their own version of hands-on training, right? And if we look closely, we will see that there are a couple of tremendous surprises that emerge in our text. And the first surprise is that he sends them out to do exactly what he is doing. He sends them out with the same power, the same ability, and they come back shocked and amazed at that power. I mean, they weren't given some second-rate authority. They weren't asked to drive some small pickup truck, right? They were given real authority, real power. They were able to do the things that Jesus was doing in the world. And that's the first surprise. And really, it's astounding. But the second surprise, in some ways, is more astounding. They come back and they're exhilarated and they say, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. I mean, could you imagine? Yeah. And Jesus, in essence, he says back to them, kind of in a cool, calmly sort of way, you know, wipe the smile off your face. And here's the thing. I mean, Jesus isn't just a killjoy. If you remember in John chapter 2, the first miracle he ever did was to get a lot of people very happy with new wine at a wedding feast. I mean, he's not a killjoy, but he looks at them and he basically says, wipe the smile off your face. And you know what he is saying here? He is saying, dear friends, I once knew somebody who was holy and beautiful and noble, someone greater than you, and he made a mistake that you were about to make. And it set his soul on fire, and his destruction was cataclysmic. I don't want you to make the same mistake. Jesus has given them the secret of real spiritual power, the power that enriches and doesn't destroy, a power that doesn't turn inwards but faces outward to those who are lost and to those who are in need of healing, to those who are caught in a spiritual battle of the soul. And Jesus says to them, he says to us, don't get lost in that power. Don't be bewitched by the things that you can do, even in my name. In other words, don't let the power become who you are. And friends, these surprises that come their way, that come our way, they are central to our Christian life, to our life as his church. And one of the things that are central to our identity as God's people that emerges out of these surprises is the power of togetherness. Well, going back to verse 16 from last week, Jesus says that the one who hears me, or the one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, because I have given you authority to go out in my name. Well, what is all that? Well, if you read through chapter 9 and 10 all the way up to our text, you will see that chapter 9, Jesus gets the 12 together and he sends them out. And he gives them the ability to do everything that he does. They are to preach the gospel and heal the sick and cast out demons. He gives them the same range of powers that he had shown in his ministry. And I mentioned last week that if we only had chapter 9 and not chapter 10, then we may have a different understanding of the church than we do, right? If that was true, then we would just think that it's the pastors, it's the church leadership that are given the special power. But in chapter 10 shows us that Jesus gives the power to all his disciples, everyone. The 72 had exactly the same power that Jesus had. They're astonished. Well, what does this mean? Well, I'm going to say it means four things this morning. First off, it means that every Christian is in mission. All Christians are sent out. To be a Christian is to be sent out in mission. And Jesus doesn't just take the special or the elite. He sends us all out. And the idea is that God never calls us in. He never calls us to be his follower without also calling you out, without sending you out. God blesses you so that you may be a blessing. So every Christian is on mission. Next, we see that every Christian is on a power-filled mission. He says, "Behold, I have given you authority." Now, what does that mean? Well, think about it this way. We have some lawyers among us, and within a firm, there is the position of partner. And if my understanding is right, to be a partner means that you are not just sharing in the work, but you are sharing in the firm. You want to make partner. I mean, who wants to do just the work, right? But you want to share in the firm, in the life, in the growth, in the vitality of that place. And Jesus, he does not say, "I just give you my jobs. I just let you do the work." He says, "I give you authority. I give you authority to go in my name." Now look, one writer, he says it this way: when you give someone authority, you bestow on them two things, the right and also the power. Jesus Christ is coming and saying, "I give you the right to go and to do exactly what I would be doing if I was here in the body. You should go and speak and care and serve, do all of these things." And Jesus says he will give us the power for that to come through you. And notice they come back and they say, it's unbelievable what power we have in your name, right? And what does that mean, in your name? Well, it's not that the demons submit to us. It's that they submit to us in your name. Time and time again, this is the refrain for God's people, to comfort one another in my name, to look after those in need in my name, to speak the good news in my name, even confront the wrongdoer in my name, in Jesus' name. Jesus is saying, when you sit down and when you involve yourself in the life of someone else, when you try and love your neighbor, when you are reaching out to those who are hurt, those who are grieving, when you try to feed someone who is hungry, when you are not doing it like anyone else in the world, you are doing it in Jesus' name. And that means Jesus has sent you to do it, and that his power will come into the person's life through you. Friends, it means Jesus' words will come through us. His love will come in our love. His power will come in our service. And let me just say this, that some of the things that we are up against, they may seem like impossibly powerful forces against us. Well, this week, I went and saw the Fred Rogers documentary, the Won't You Be My Neighbor. You should go. I definitely recommend it and to see it. And really, I'm not ashamed to say I was overcome by the movie. It's one of those, and one of the things that I took from the movie is the power of love and gentleness, the power of those things to meet something like anger, to meet that at the door, the kind of anger that keeps people at a distance, that is there protecting someone from hurt and shame and guilt. In the movie, it was a pointer to the reality that power in Jesus' name can meet at the door the harshest of outside forces and the most broken of inside voices. It can meet those things and make them new. It can bring redemption and healing and wholeness. This is the power in Jesus' name. Well, Ephesians 2, verse 17 says that Christ came to preach to you. He came to preach to you. And this is post-ascension. Jesus is not physically in the body, but Paul says this. He never came in the body to those people in Asia Minor or to those people in Ephesus. He's not physically there, but Paul knows that when the Christians come to share their faith, Christ came. That's why he could say, Christ came to you and preached to you. Well, far more amazing passage in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Jesus had the audacity to say, there has never been a greater man born up till this point than John the Baptist. And yet I say unto you, the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Well, our text this morning illustrates that Jesus was saying these 72, these regular followers, are doing things that John the Baptist never could do, that Moses never did, that Elijah never did. We don't see them casting out demons and healing the sick. Jesus says, the least in the kingdom of God, these everyday common Christians have a greater power than John the Baptist. And what is that? Well, is that a promise? Is that a promise that you can preach better or than John the Baptist, or be as brave as him, or as more holy, or have more character than John the Baptist? Well, it's none of those things. You see, only in the dimmest way did John the Baptist get the gospel. Very dimly did he get it. What you and I know, what Paul says, is the power of God for salvation. It's not just the result of the power, it is the power of God. And what is it? What is it? It's the gospel. And if you have it, you are way ahead of John the Baptist. Well, we've heard all Christians are on a mission, and that mission is full of power. Next, we see that the mission is filled with joy. Our text says that they come back, and they come back with joy. There's a place in the scriptures, in John chapter 17, Jesus says in his prayer to the Father, he says, as you have sent me into the world, so I send them. And then in verse 13, he says, I'm telling them these things so that their joy may be full, may be complete. Now, if you look closely at that passage, you will see that it's not all roses and ice cream. You know, Jesus, he says that he's sending them out among wolves. The 72, they go to demons. They are sent to do hard things. He's sending us to be involved in brokenness. He's sending us out. He's not sending us out just to lead seminars and TED Talks and helpful workshops, right? He's sending us out into the lives of the worst and the most helpless and the broken in the world. We are sent out into lives of people who are struggling and suffering. And then he says in John 17, I'm doing all of these things so that your joy may be full. I mean, it sounds crazy, but he's right. I wonder if there are those of us in this room who have little joy because we have no mission. And for us, there may be all kinds of reasons why we don't get into mission. And maybe for some of us, you're tired of reaching out to people that don't give back. People we're unwilling to let our hearts be broken for those who need help and compassion. We protect ourselves. We insulate ourselves. Our livelihood, our reputations, our time, our sense of comfort and peace. Well, these 72 are sent out to deal with the most hurting people. These people are sent out to become involved. These people are there to listen. These people are there to hold hands. These people are there to counsel. These people are there to talk about hope. They're there to feed the hungry and bring in those on the margins, the unwelcome. They are there not to build walls, but pathways of welcome and belonging to those without a place to call a home. He sends them out to heal the sick. And friends, there is great joy in being sent out. Because when we are sent out, we become who we were created to be. We are living as we were created to be. So every disciple has a mission filled with power and full of joy. Every Christian also has a unique mission. People get so distracted by the healing and the casting out of demons, but it's not the key, right? It's not just the preaching, that the gospel of the kingdom is not just talking, but it's also doing. They don't go out there just to tell people about the gospel. They go out there to embody the gospel. It's not just the gospel for our soul. It is that, but it's a gospel that wants to put every part of your life right with God. So the unique mission is that we don't all have to be preachers. We are sent out in the name of Jesus if we do something in the name of Christ. We have the confidence, we have the poise, we have the incredible confidence knowing that as I'm squeezing a sick person's hand, as I'm bringing meals to the overwhelmed family, as I'm spending time with the grief-stricken in my community, as I'm listening to a person who is full of anxiety. In the name of Christ, Jesus says, I have sent you out, and my healing power comes through you. It means anything, not just words, not just preaching. It's the whole range of activity, using all our gifts and abilities. But Jesus says, don't let power and your abilities become who you are. What does he say? He says in verse 20, do not rejoice in this, right? Do not rejoice in your gifts. Rejoice in your performance. Because he says he has a better way. Rejoice, he says, that your names are written in heaven. Now, what does that mean? Well, ancient people all believe that when judgment day comes, the books would be open, and there in the books would be all the things you've ever done, and if your good deeds were sufficient, you'd be written in the book of life, right? But Jesus says, let me tell you what the gospel is. Your name is already written down. He says, don't rejoice in what you do. Rejoice in what you are in me. All of that love, all and beauty and belonging that you are after, all of that is pointing, it's aiming at Christ, not something that we have earned, but in the grace of God and an identity that has been given to us. And friends, it's too easy for us to rejoice and to let our identity be about the things that we do. You see, if we are rejoicing in being a great lawyer or a great consultant or a great pastor or a great social worker or a great mother or a great father, it will never be enough. It will never be enough. And what does that mean? Have you ever found that when people don't listen to you, maybe your kids, maybe someone at work, you get angry at them, right? Perhaps because of our sense of self, what we value about ourselves is challenged, is rejected. But Jesus, he meets us in this tender place, this under the surface sort of place. He speaks right to the heart of who we are when he says, don't rejoice in these things, even these wonderful things. Don't rejoice in them, but rejoice in who you are in me. And friends, it is a place of security. Your name has been written. It is already there. Be who you are. Well, Jesus says, to the degree that you are melted by the blazing heat of the joy of knowing that your name is written in heaven, you can move past discouragement, you can move past temptation, you can certainly overcome oppressive attitudes of people who have a message, but the joy and the drive to which they deliver that message, it is their performance, right? Is their success. And Jesus, he gives us a great example of what this looks like. In verse 21, he says, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, thank you, Father, that you have hidden these things, this good news from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. In other words, God has hidden these things from people who think they are moral, they think they are good, who are wise in their own eyes, and he gives grace to the children. To the ones who are weak, to those who are in need, who know that they are not wise, who know that they are not good, and who simply ask, save me by your grace. And church, what this means for people like you and me, it is to turn away from all of those broken down ways of finding life, of using even the good things, the good gifts that we have been given to give us meaning. We are invited with the open hands of repentance and faith to be his children. And Jesus, our elder brother, he did not just teach us this, he embodied it for us. You see, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He made himself nothing. He humbled himself. He gave his life so that the record will show that you and I can be certain that we are children of God. Well, let me pray for us. Father, help us to love this truth, the truth about the world you have made that pushes against the grain of everything that we know and practice. Help us to love it, and by your Holy Spirit, I ask that you would change us, all of the places that we need change and all the ways we need change. As individuals, as families, as a church, change us into a people who rejoice, not in all of our human strengths, but in our identity as your children. Do this for our good and for the broken world around us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.